welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Hey, real quick, want to remind you that next Saturday, October 6th, we're going to be riding our bicycles. It's a great way to help support M88. We're really here because of you. So if you enjoy the music and the ministry, like shows like Raw Talk, if you enjoy that, having that on the air, come on out, ride your bicycle, help support M88, enjoy Balloon Fiesta without having to worry about the traffic, and get some exercise. So you're going to benefit as well. Chase the Balloons, the cycling benefit event happening next weekend, and we'd love for you to come on out and join us for that. So I hope you'll do that, and looking forward to having you out there. It's actually very unique event, especially with Balloon Fiesta going on. Can you believe it's almost Balloon Fiesta time already? This year has been flying by. Well, tonight on Raw Talk, we're going to talk about a topic that really is a topic that I wanted to talk about because it's one area of my life that I'd like to see some change. I'd like to see some growth. I'd like to see some radical alterations in. So anything that I say tonight, understand that really, more than anything, I'm saying it to myself. This is a topic that really pertains to me, and I hope that you will benefit from it as well. What we're talking about tonight is knowing and loving the Bible. Now, before I introduce our special guest, let me just share some biblical truths that are truths from the eyes of children. Our excellent researcher, Sorrel, helped came up with a lot of the research you're going to hear tonight. Appreciate her help. So here's some biblical truths from kids. I'm sure you've heard some of these before. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was the Joan of Arc. And Noah built an ark, and the animals came on it in pairs. P-E-A-R-S. Pears, the fruit, not pear. Anyway. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt during the day, but a ball of fire during the night. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. Moses died before he ever reached Canada. That's actually my homeland, so I'm kind of upset that Moses never made it there. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. And when Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she sang the Magna Carta. And the epistles were, of course, the wives of the apostles. Now, we hear something like that, and we're like, oh, isn't that cute? So funny. Isn't that sweet, kids? That's the kids. They say the darndest things. Well, here's what's not so funny. You know, 2/3 of Americans believe that the Bible holds the answer to all or most of life's basic questions, but only half of adults in America even know the title of one gospel. As a matter of fact, even half of Christians say they don't open their Bible except for when they're at church once a week. Those types of statistics, not so funny, not so sweet, actually rather sad. And in my experience, often people who aren't Christians, people who are members of cults or other religions, know the Bible far better than the people who claim that the Bible is the foundation of their lives. So what's going on here? Why don't we love God's Word the way that we're supposed to? Well, that's what we're going to examine tonight. And joining me tonight is our very special guest who just wrote a book called Knowing and Loving the Bible. Catherine Martin is an author of several books, and I certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight, Ms. Martin.
Well, it's a privilege. I love that, and I love all those things that you shared because they do show that, especially those statistics at the end, that I believe there's a real crisis when it comes to the Bible.
I would have to agree with you. You know, some of the other things that we found, 35% of Christians don't read the Bible at all, which I found astounding.
That's
like,
right.
Really? Why bother calling yourself a Christian if you're not going to read the Bible?
Well, the thing is, what those statistics tell us and should cause us to even examine ourselves is that if the Bible is not determining what we believe, what we do, and the decisions we make, then something else is.
And that's actually a very scary thought, especially for people who are in the church.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I'm just the cheerleader to say, let's take those Bibles off the shelves, dust them off, and begin reading.
Yeah, it's something that we should do more than just record important dates and events in. And hopefully tonight's discussion will encourage people to do that. Now, I was talking with you before the program, and I was skimming through your book, scanning through, Knowing and Loving the Bible. And one of the things that dawned on me was, you know what? I really need to pay attention to this in detail. I love how you set up your book talking about it as a romance. We just did a show on romance recently about how Christians should be among the most romantic people in the world because we've been romanced by the God of the universe. We are privileged to be a part of the great romance. And yet, as I was kind of skimming through your book, one of the things I realized was a lot of people, maybe the reason they don't understand what romance is because they're missing out on their romance with God because they just don't have time, quote unquote, don't have time for the Bible. And so for me personally, I began to feel this hunger, this desire, this renewed passion for, you know what, I need to get back to my first love, which should be the Word of God. So in advance, thank you so much for kind of sparking that in me as I was preparing for this show.
Well, I'm excited that that's what happened with you, and it's my prayer that that will happen with others too, because, you know, that is really what it's all about, is a love relationship with the God of the universe. And, you know, when I first came to know the Lord and I went out and bought a Bible, the most amazing thing to me was when I opened it and began to read it, I was astounded that God had something to say to me and that He loved me. And I began to discover that that really the Bible was a love letter from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, and that it was not just an academic book, just words on a page, but it was God's word. And so that was the beginning of my romance with the Lord, and very exciting.
Well, I thought it was really cool that you have Josh McDowell do the foreword for your book. And I'm very familiar with Josh McDowell. He was one of my main resources when I was going through college trying to make my stand for Christianity in a hostile environment at a university. And I love, you know, his foreword as he talks about, you know, he set out to disprove the Bible, but what he found was the evidence for the Bible was so overwhelming he couldn't and therefore had no choice but to accept that it was true. And so I thought that was a good way to kind of open your book because it kind of just sweeps away the whole question of, well, is the Bible really reliable? You know, that question's answered for us. There's so much evidence for the reliability of the Bible. It's really a non-question. And anyone who asks it is trying to avoid the main issue in the first place, and that is that God's word is truth for their lives. And just by, oh, yeah, but it's been copied, you know, all that stuff. And I love how you open with Josh McDowell because that kind of sweeps that aside and then makes way for the real thing, which is focusing on why God's word is so important in your life.
Yes, exactly. And I wanted it to begin as really an invitation for others to literally come to know and love the Bible. Because I guarantee that every person that makes a decision for the Word of God to make a commitment to begin drawing near to God in His Word, it will alter the course of their life.
Mm-hmm.
It will literally transform their life and cause their lives to begin being built on a foundation that can't be shaken. Because we all face storms in life. But Jesus said, if you build your life on what I say, then when the winds and the rain come, your house will not fall.
Hmm. Well, we certainly are facing a lot of storms in today's society and culture, and so that's good. And it's a good reminder because we do need a solid foundation.
Yes, and it was exciting to begin this whole book with Josh. And, of course, I worked with Josh for 4 years.
Yeah, I was reading that. That's pretty cool.
And so that was really cool for me because I was able to live and breathe all the historicity and the reliability of the scriptures. And I heard what Josh had to say over and over. And one of the things that he talked about more than anything was what is the authority for your belief? And so that became one of the guiding forces for me to realize that the Bible is my authority for my belief and what God says in His Word. And so we talk a little bit about that in Knowing and Loving the Bible.
Well, that's
so
good.
So there's a little bit of everything in there, even archaeology, yo.
Oh, that's cool. I love archaeology.
I know.
We have a great university here, Trinity Southwest University. It actually has a biblical archaeology museum where you can see actual biblical artifacts. But that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
We won't get into that too much. And, you know, actually what you brought up is, you know, knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And that's really why we do a show like Raw Talk. So let's ask the question. And if you would like to throw in your opinion or ask Catherine a question about this topic of knowing and loving your Bible, give us a call, 505-338-5790. The question is, so why don't we love the Bible more? I mean, if half of us don't even bother opening it, except maybe when we're in church, what's going on? Why are we ignoring the Bible if we claim that it holds the truth for life, the answers that we need and should be the foundation of what it means to be a Christian? If you have an opinion on that, 505-338-5790. Now, let me ask you, Catherine, because I sometimes am curious if the fact that we live in the Western culture that we do, where we have the Bible so easily prepackaged, prepared, divvied up and outlined and detailed and bullet pointed and all this type of stuff, all the work is taken care of for us, you know, be it on DVD, podcast, radio, TV, whatever, internet. You know, you can get Bible everything here in America, to the point where I wonder if our apathy comes from the fact that the information is so easy to get that we just start taking it for granted. I mean, how do you feel about what's going on in our Western culture where maybe we have too easy of access to the Bible and that's why we feel so apathetic towards it?
I think that is a big part of it. I think another part of it is that we're so busy.
Mm.
And I think that we have so many distractions, and also we don't realize the magnificent gift that we have in the Bible. Mm. We do have access to so many things. And, you know, it's interesting that you should even bring this up, because I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about way back when Tyndale and Wycliffe literally gave their lives because the Bible was not in the hands of the people. And they gave their lives to translate into the language of the common person so that a person could actually have a Bible in their hands. And I thought, how different are we today than then? Because is the Bible really in the hands of the people even today?
Mm.
We have access to it, but we're not opening it.
Yeah.
And so if we're not opening it, it's no more in our hands today than it was then, in a sense. And that's why I am fighting to encourage others to grab that Bible and open it, to realize that we are not meant to be observers. We are meant to be participants with God.
Mm.
And if you want to experience God for yourself, then open the pages of your Bible.
I have to admit that as I was, reacquainting myself, and again, you know, I don't want anyone to think that I'm putting on a show. I'm just being honest here. I have let my own passion and love for God's Word slip because of distractions, because of business, whatever. There's really no excuse, but I'm willing to admit that that's happened to me, and I'm so glad that I'm having this conversation with you tonight. But part of the reason why I think it started hitting me so heavy is I've had firsthand experience being overseas in countries where God's Word is scarce. And if they come across like a little chapter of the Bible that someone's been able to smuggle to them, you know, there's places in the world, in Asia and in China and the Middle East, some of the places that I have visited personally and talked with missionaries, and, you know, people will take entire books of the Bible and commit it to memory and then pass it on to someone else so they can have it. And here in America, we're like, let's see, I can memorize Jesus wept and John 3:16 because I see it at football games all the time, but all that other stuff is hard. And, you know, I've been places where just everyday people are memorizing entire books of the Bible because it's so precious to them. And that, you know, I was just thinking, man, here I am in America where I don't have to worry about scraping by and hoping someone will bring me little parts of the Bible. It's right there. And I'm thinking, ugh. So much work to memorize that one verse. I'll work on it tomorrow. And, man, I started to realize how, and I'll be honest, how pathetic that really is.
Well, and, you know, I think the point being, how can we cultivate a love for the Bible?
Mm.
That's what it really comes down to is, okay, you know, we've got access to every translation of the Bible known to the history of man.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, we can get the New Living Translation, the New International Version, the New American Standard. So how can we cultivate a love for the Bible and have it become so precious to us? And the first answer there would be time, to give time, to say, okay, I want to make a commitment of time with God in His Word, and then get a Bible that you can call your own, that you can begin to mark up and begin to get personal, get radical with God's Word. I mean, begin to get personal and purposeful and just really read it slowly and underline verses that stand out to you and begin to think and engage with God in His Word. And it will begin to become precious, even to us.
Hmm. You know, a lot of people talk about how the blood of martyrs is often the seed for the church. You know, how persecution is really what's necessary for the church to grow. And although I've seen that to be true in history, when you study through church history, I've also seen lots of points in history where there's peace and prosperity, and the church is still growing.
Yes.
And so I think one of the things that I've always pulled out of that is I don't want to come to a crisis point and that's what makes me fall in love with God's Word over again, you know? I don't want to be someone who gets to the point where suddenly I'm so desperate for anything, like, oh, okay, finally I'll turn to God's Word. I'd like to think that I'd be wise enough to stoke that passion before a crisis occurs, and yet so many people wait until it's quote-unquote almost too late, and that's their last resort. And how do you think we can avoid having that happen to us so that we're not just waiting for some great persecution of the church to happen before we realize how precious God's Word is?
Well, I think that when you do understand how great God's Word is, I think we need to challenge each other, and we need to make it an issue in the church. At least that's how I feel. One guy hundreds of years ago, or maybe it was 150 years ago, said there can be no hope of revival without first a back to the Bible movement among the people of God. And I do think that's true. George Whitefield, it said, set aside everything else and began reading the Bible on his knees. And he was used in the Great Awakening, which was one of the great revivals. And so I believe that that will be one of the sparks. And I think the bottom line is for us to come to a point of decision right now about the Bible, time with God, realizing that it's not just your next door neighbor or your pastor or the president, even the president, wanting to spend time with you, but it's the CEO of the universe wants to spend time with you and with me.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you got a question or comment as we talk about knowing and loving God's Word, why don't we and why should we? 505-338-5790, if you'd like to add a question or comment to tonight's conversation. Now, let me ask you this, Catherine, because a lot of people, when they hear, oh, we need to get into God's Word, we need to do, quote-unquote, quiet times, we need to do this, we need to do that, especially for people who are in college or still in high school or whatnot, really often that translates into, oh, that just sounds like more study time. You know, it's like, oh, one more thing that I have to study. Well, that's just great. And I'll admit, I was there at points when I was in high school and college, although through most of my college time, there was such an intense, I'm not going to say persecution because it wasn't anything close to that, but a lot of pressure on me as a Christian that I was very passionate about being able to defend God's Word. But, you know, some people might just see that as, oh, it's just one more thing I have to study. How can we overcome that mentality that it's just one more thing that we have to study?
Seeing it in the context of a relationship, that's the secret right there, because it's understanding that God wants a relationship with you. And when you open the Bible, to me, opening the Bible is one of the most exciting things in life. Because when I open the Bible and I begin to read, I can't wait to see what it is that God has to say to me. Because one of the things that the Bible promises is that God always sends his word out with purpose. And so that means that he has a purpose for me in my life every time I read in the Bible. So just imagine that the God of the universe has something that he wants to say to you. Do you want to hear what it is? Well, I would think so. And so that's, I think it's the secret of understanding that it's in the context of a relationship and an experience, a real, true experience with God himself.
Now, what sort of effect do you think it would have on the church today, especially the church in Western civilization here in America, if people were to realize that the Bible isn't one more thing to study, it isn't one more thing to go someplace Sunday and Wednesday nights to hear someone talk about, but something that should be an integral part of their lives? What sort of effect do you think that would have on our society?
You know what? I think you would see something radical happen. I mean radical in the positive sense of the word, exciting. You would see a Holy Spirit-driven, turn your life upside down movement all across the land is the bottom line. And why is that? Because then you're getting into the Word of God and you are learning what God wants you to know. And he is going to begin to transform your life. He will give you ideas for ministry. He is going to give you wisdom for the direction of your life. One of the things that A.W. Tozer says, and he said this, he's with the Lord now, but in one of his books, he said, the church, there are many in the church that are great imitators, but there are few initiators. And you see, that's what happens. Is you become an initiator, and then it's God through his Holy Spirit giving you ideas for ministry instead of like just trying to imitate what someone else is doing. It'd be the difference between hearing what Hawaii is like and going there for yourself. That's the difference.
That's a good illustration.
Because then people would be meeting with God, hearing what he has to say in his word, learning who God is, what God does, what God says, and then believing God for big things, realizing that God is the God of the impossible, that God can do anything. And then they won't settle, a person won't settle for something small over here, but believe God for that big thing that God might lay on their heart to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the church recently, you know, in the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church about, you know, letting gays be a part of the pastoral staff and the debate over this and the debate over that and compromising on this and compromising on that. And when I was looking through, you know, your book, it brought to mind what Jesus told us in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And you look at that and you think, well, that sounds kind of harsh. But as I was thinking about, you know, this topic tonight, really, you know, if we love Jesus, we'll study and know what he said. We'll cherish what he said. We'll do what he said and show our love to him by obeying him. And all these pithy little issues that we're all debating over and struggling to set our own agendas above someone else and all this stuff that we argue about, all of a sudden, all that's not going to seem like such a big deal anymore as we realize, you know what? It's pretty black and white what we need to do if we're going to follow God. And if we're in love with his word, it'll be a lot easier to do that than feeling like we're trying to obey some heavenly killjoy who just doesn't want us to have fun.
Exactly. See, then you'll know what God says. It's clear. It will be clear. I'll never forget a workman coming into my office and saying, what do you believe about so-and-so, you know, and he asked me about a particular issue. And I said, well, it really doesn't matter what I believe, but I said, do you want to know what God says?
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes got so wide, I can't even describe it. He said, well, yeah, I really would like to know what God says. And I go, well, let's look. And I opened the Bible, and he said, do you know, you are the first person to show me what God says about it.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of astounding, actually. You think?
Yes, it is. but you know, something that gets me when I'm in conversations with people, they'll go, "Oh, well, God would never do that." Or God would never do that. Have you ever heard someone say that?
I have.
Oh, well, God would never do that. Well, how do you know? Unless you open the Bible. Mm-hmm. People say that, and they don't know what God would do or wouldn't do because they don't really know who God is or what God does or what he says. And especially, I mean, if they're not in the Word. And so that's my challenge, is I want people to know who God is and what he can do, that he is sovereign, that he is able to do more than we can even ask or imagine.
Another thing that comes to mind as we talk about this, and one of the things that I try to focus on when we do Raw Talk, is encouraging people who are in college, in high school, even in junior high, to start now to know what you believe and why you believe it. And, you know, yes, it seems, and I'm painting with a broad stroke here, so all you youth pastors who are listening, please don't take offense. This is a very broad generalization. But it seems a lot of the focus of youth groups can be for the safe environment for kids to hang out, a place where they can learn not to have sex, not to drink, and not to do drugs, which are all very important things. But it occurs to me that if we were focusing on helping our young people to know and love, to fall in love with God's Word, all those other issues, again, wouldn't be quite as much of a struggle because our young people would know what God says and would cherish what he says.
Mm.
And I would hope that there might be some change in that, and we might find new ways that we could do that. I mean, let me ask you this, Catherine. I mean, I don't know if you've considered this, but how do you get young people excited and want to fall in love with God's Word?
Well, God's Word can speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that even, I'll tell you from my own example as a young person, when I was in my early years of college and had just given my life to the Lord, the Bible was the most exciting thing that I'd ever read. And what I would say to youth pastors and youth leaders and youth in general as well, you've heard the saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach him to fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime. And to me, that's the secret, is that if you just tell people what they can do and can't do, they're not catching the beauty of being able to go to God's Word and learn it for themselves. And so the best thing you can do is get a Bible into the hands of every young person and begin to talk about, what is this magnificent gift of the Bible? Why is it that I can even love the Bible? What's so great about it? And then really teach how to set aside a time, have a place, and have a plan to be in the Bible every day.
Well, 505-338-5790, especially if you'd like to respond to that idea that maybe we need to teach our youth a little bit more how to love God's Word instead of the do and don'ts of God's Word. 505-338-5790. And, you know, Catherine, I'm a big believer in that you don't necessarily need to talk down to junior high or no, high schoolers or college students. I mean, you can explore with them the big ideas of God's Word and get them excited about it without worrying about talking over their heads, because let's face it, God's Word was written to be understood. It wasn't written as some sort of elitist thing that only those who have a seminary degree and are versed in Latin and Greek and Aramaic can truly understand. And this is something that God wants us to know because he loves us, right?
Exactly. And
yeah,
I guarantee you, it is so exciting. When you start reading the Gospels, like the Book of John or even the Psalms or any of the Old Testament, especially, I wouldn't start in Leviticus, okay?
But it's still a good book to read.
That's probably not the place to start. But you know what? Start in Genesis. Genesis is one of the most exciting books of the Bible. And in fact, the very first verse, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Realizing that God is eternal, unchanging. And then beginning to see this love story and how much God loves those he's created. And the Bible can speak for itself, and God can speak for himself in his Word. And when you begin to read it, it just comes alive.
You know, when I was in junior high, And I don't know why this memory is coming back to me. I think it's because I've been thinking back to times where I really was, you know, passionate and excited and truly in love with God's word, and remembering how that felt, and, you know, looking forward to renewing that here, starting tonight and moving forward. But when I was in junior high, I actually did a book report on the book of Acts. My teacher thought it was a joke. Like, I got my report back, and, you know, I did my research. I did, you know, the historical research, and, you know, I broke down, you know, what it was about and when it was written, and, you know, I covered all the bases. So I didn't like, you know, flub the assignment or anything, but my teacher wrote back and said, you know, I don't know, if this was a joke or not, but, and, you know, he just went through a couple things I could have done better on my book report, but I thought it was kind of funny that, for my teacher, he never expected one of his students to do a book report on a book of the Bible. It just never occurred to him. And yet I can remember how excited I was that I had read through this book, you know, because they told him you could read any book you want. It's like, ooh, I want to do one on the book of Acts, because there's lots of exciting stuff that happens in there.
Wow.
And then I turned that in as the assignment, and my teacher was so flabbergasted that some young person would actually do that, because, you know, everyone else was doing Curious George, or, well, I guess not Curious George, because I was in junior high, but
right.
You know what I'm saying. They were doing other stuff, the standard stuff. And so he was kind of surprised by that. We actually have a couple callers on the line, Catherine. So let's chat with Michael. Michael, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
I just totally agree. I think that the issue is, you know, I'm a 38-year-old individual. But my issue is that's exactly what it is. Is I think that we have taught kids that it's such a rule of do's and don'ts. When really, it says in the Bible, you know, the fact that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And so many times we tell these people what to do, what not to do. I mean, there's all sorts of things, like, just, I have a 9-year-old myself. And I, you know, my wife is pregnant. We had to talk about sex. And I told him, you know, and I was just like, you know, this is, when it's in the connotations of Scripture, when it's in the connotations, you know, when it's under the watchful eye of God, you know, under a married couple, it is the most amazing thing in the world.
Right.
And it's just, it's this taboo subject. We've let so many things become taboo in the church that we don't want to tell our kids, that we're too afraid of offending somebody. But at the same time, though, when we can present things, like, I mean, just the fact of, like, I was reading a book, Coffee House Theology, when he talks about it, and so many times, like, people will just say, you know, like, well, you know, God just wants to take away my fun. And my thing is, you know, you get on a roller coaster, and imagine yourself on a roller coaster without a lap belt, or, you know, the harness that holds you in, or whatever, the thing that comes down over you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a real, real scary ride. But with that harness holding you in, I mean, it's a kick in the pants. I mean, there's tons of fun, there's tons of laughter, there's tons of all these different things. But it's God holding us in, and He's not taking anything away from us. But when we give ourselves over to Him, we allow, you know, I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, if you're on a roller coaster and you don't have that thing in, I mean, you're still locked to the laws. I mean, you're still, sorry, I'm totally fumbling my word. You're still subject to the laws of gravity on that thing. You go up and down, you take the loop to loop, you take the twists and turns. I mean, you're gone. But that bar holds you in and allows you to take those twists and turns and loop to loops and all that stuff. It's a great fun ride.
That's quite the elaborate illustration, Michael. How long have you been working on that one?
I would say with the last year, with having a 9-year-old son, I mean, you just, it comes to you in everyday daily doses of just realizing. But it's just, I think it's one of those things. If I grew up in the church, I was pretty much born in a pew, basically. And like I was telling, you know, my mother-in-law yesterday, that I don't want my son to have the same relationship that I have with God, because I want him to have his own. And it's the same thing. It's just so many times we get these kids involved with all these different programs, and it's great that we have all these tools out there, but so many times it's like something that I'm going through right now is just people are wanting my wife and I to read these books. And books are great. Books are awesome. But it's like I told them, I just said, you know, I said, right now I want to feed off of the Word. I want to know what God says. I don't want to know what man says. I know enough of what man says. I want to know what the Lord says. And it's by spending that time, it's, you know, like reading A.W. Tozer, like he talks about it, and he just says it's mental intercourse with a living God. Mm-hmm. And we can realize that it's that relationship that he wants with us, that it's that time that he wants to spend with us, and that everything we're looking for is in him. And I think if we tell people in such a way that people are just going to get excited about it and just say, man, this is what Jesus came for. Don't make it a political game. Don't make it a list of do's and don'ts. I think that our young people are going to find that he's so much more than what they're looking for.
You know, Michael actually brings up a really good point there, Catherine, about how we have so much access to books about the Bible that we can actually get lost reading about the Bible without reading the Bible.
Amen. Totally.
Now,
it's so true. What should we do about that, Catherine? I mean, how can we kind of avoid this lure of like reading the crib notes for the Bible instead of actually, you know, we're always looking for that easy way out. Oh, the Bible's too much work. I'll just read this book about the Bible. That's not really the same thing, is it? I mean, why should we try to avoid just reading about the Bible and actually read the Bible, Catherine?
Exactly. Well, you've got to be careful with that, and you have to also be very selective about the books you read. Do those books lead you to go into the Word of God itself? That's the bottom line. And I do see people just reading books and setting aside the Bible. And there again, it's a decision. And so it's just realizing it and asking the Lord to give you the wisdom to make time for him in his word. And I think that metaphor of the roller coaster or the whatever with the bars, that was brilliant.
That was rather brilliant. Good job.
That was brilliant.
Good job.
Because that is the way it is. The boundaries that God sets for us are protection to allow our relationship with him to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much, Michael. We appreciate your comments. You have a great evening, all right?
Hey, you too. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
All right, good night.
Next up, we have Blake on the line. Blake, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Is there like a certain subject today?
Yeah, we're talking about knowing and loving God's Word.
Okay, well, like, I don't know if other kids are listening and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I just want to say, like, anybody's listening, like, I used to be into drugs and stuff, and, like, I got locked up. And then I guess I just, my life to God, started reading the Bible.
Cool.
And it's pretty good. Like, so if anybody's listening, like, you read the Bible, it's God gets you set. Like, I don't know, Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good. So, I don't know, that's all I had to say, just for kids that are doing drugs and stuff, it's a coming thing, but, you know, God's out there for you, so.
Well, thanks for the encouragement, Blake. We appreciate it.
Yeah, cool.
All right, you have a good evening.
You too.
Well, that also brings up another good point, doesn't it, Catherine, that really, if we start to know and love God's Word, it's going to be life-changing.
And very much so. And, you know, that's one of the promises in the Bible, and I was just going to say, Blake, what he shared was really exciting, because it is true. The Bible literally transforms your life. It's one of the gifts that God has given us to change our heart. He uses it to change our heart. And in fact, it says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we need to remember that it's not just words on a page, but it's alive. And God sends it into our heart and uses it to transform us and make us the people that he wants us to be. That's why I say it's life-altering.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the decision to spend time with God in his word, your life will not be the same.
Well, I like that idea, and I'm going to do that more. 505-338-5790, if you'd like to add a question or comment to tonight's topic. Catherine, let's get practical here, okay? We've been talking a lot about this and that and how it can change these things. Okay, so now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How do we practically get into God's Word so that we can know it and love it? What do we need to do to make that a daily habit, a daily practice in our life where it will be life-altering?
Very good. Very good question. Well, first of all, you've got to get a Bible. you need a Bible, and not everyone has a Bible. And so I encourage you to do what I did when I first came to know the Lord. I went to the bookstore, and I asked them to help me pick a Bible that I could use and choose one that's a good size, good translation, like the New International Version or the New American Standard or the English Standard. They're all different translations, and I talk about the different ones in Knowing and Loving the Bible. But just open them up and start reading a few verses and find one that's easy to read, easy to understand. And then set aside a time every day to read the Bible. Have a Bible reading plan. And one of the good Bible reading plans, there are devotional Bibles in the bookstore that you can get that give you a piece of scripture every day to read. And I don't know if you knew this, but if you set aside 15 minutes a day to be in the Bible and to read it, you can read through the entire Bible in a year. Did you know that?
I actually did know that. Up until about 2006, I had read through the Bible once a year for about 4 years running.
Wow. See, 15 minutes a day. And then, you know what I encourage people to do is get a notebook of some kind, like a journal or something, and always write down one significant insight from your time in God's Word. In other words, look for one verse that stands out to you. And then I encourage others to begin learning about Bible study tools, because there are very exciting tools out there that you can use in your quiet time to begin to know and understand what God is saying in His Word. And there are tools like commentaries, word study tools. One of my favorite things to do is look up the meaning of a word. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like, well, don't you need to be a seminary student? The answer is no. You don't. It's really exciting to learn what a word means, like endurance, realizing that the greatness of what it means to endure in a trial.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is something that I think is part of what has affected my apathy of late, and I'm sure some other people can relate, where there's been circumstances in your life where it feels like God is distant, where it feels like you've been beaten down by life and it just doesn't seem like your prayers are getting through, or, you know, you try to read the Bible, and I know that Christianity shouldn't be based on feelings. That has always been one of my key precepts. You know, I'm not going to just go with whatever I feel, that, you know, true love goes beyond feelings. But still, you know, you can get to a point where you have that discouragement where it feels like you try to do these things and they don't really make a difference, and you can get to a point, well, why bother? Why am I bothering to continue to read God's Word on a daily basis when my life is still in the dumps? Not that God's Word is supposed to make your life all rosy all the time, but still, I mean, do you understand where I'm coming from? I mean,
definitely.
How would you respond to someone who's facing that kind of discouragement and tell them that they need to keep on keeping on?
Well, I would say, first of all, realizing that our life is a pilgrimage, it is a journey, and there are seasons where we're going through difficult times. And it is true that the difficult times can cause us to fall into despair. And what we really need is a new view. And where you can gain a new view are in the promises of God, in His Word. And I always recommend to turn to the Psalms. If you want to have your heart gain a new view of life and something to begin to give you hope, then turn to the Psalms. And in those Psalms, you'll begin to find promises to hang onto. And this is something that God built into me over especially the last few years, because I went through a very difficult time where I was giving in a bit to despair because of something my mother was going through with her multiple sclerosis. And God took me to the Psalms, and I discovered that our hope comes from the promises that God gives us.
Wow. You know, I've been, you know, facing some similar circumstances, especially this past year. Nothing super tragic. You know, I'm not going to tell anyone a sob story or anything. Oh, poor yo. But it's been something where it's been a kind of like one thing after another, where you don't really get a chance for a breather, where you don't really get a chance to kind of collect yourself for the next event. And it's just been constant this year. And I've had those moments where, you know, I've wondered, why am I doing this? It doesn't seem to make any difference in my life. I know I need to pray every day, and I know I need to read God's word every day, but I do, but it just feels empty and lifeless because there's all this stuff that's beating me down, and I see things that are going wrong that don't seem to change no matter how desperately I pray or how much I search God's word. But, you know, one thing that I've always told people, and it's funny how when you've been telling people something that eventually it comes back that you actually have to live up to what you've been telling other people. But, you know, there was that time when Jesus was teaching and some of the disciples said, wow, that's kind of a hard teaching. They started turning away from him, and Jesus turned to the 12 and asked them, well, what about you guys? Are you going to leave too? And, you know, Peter said, Lord, where else would we go? You alone hold the keys to life and salvation. That's the loose translation. Okay, I'm not quoting word for word. But for me, you know, just the fact that I've known that and I know that, that's in God's word, so often, especially in this past year, that's the thing that I've come back to is the idea of like, well, okay, it may be true that it feels like this is pointless and not doing anything, but where else am I going to turn? And just the knowledge that I know that my hope in God won't disappoint. And these are all things, though, now that I'm talking with you, I realize have come from all those past years of studying God's word.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I discovered this is when I was reading Jeremiah in Lamentations. And you remember the part where he says, this I call to mind, therefore I have hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was in one of the deepest, darkest times of his life, and I thought, what did he call to his mind? I mean, how was it that he was able to hope? And I looked at what he said, and he said, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And I go, wow, those are promises that he began to put his mind on. And that's when I realized that it's what God says in his word about himself, about what he can do, just his word. Those are the things that when we begin to put our minds on those things, that's where we get hope. And what is hope? It's holding on with patient expectation, H-O-P-E, holding on with patient expectation.
That's clever. I'm glad you brought that up. And I've been reading through the book of Job recently, actually, because I've kind of felt, you know, the whole life in ashes thing. But I love where Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And
exactly.
Again, you know, just the idea that, you know, God's worthy of our love and trust no matter what's going on in our lives. We could talk about that all night. We have Charlotte on the line. Charlotte, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Oh, thank you. I'm actually just first want to say thanks for, you know, having Raw Talk. I got into my car and forgot that this was going on. So, of course, it was on M88 already.
Well, that's good.
But what you guys are talking about really captured my attention because this is what I'm going through right now. I'm reading the Bible. And I think this is like the third time I tried going through one of those, read the Bible in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the first time I've really stuck through it, and it's been a few months now. I think about June, July, August. Oh, okay, about 4 months. And usually I'm done within the first month. You know, I've got off track.
Wow.
And, you know, the lady here, I forgot your name, ma'am, but you're absolutely right. It does transform your life, and it is one of the most exciting things you ever do all day.
Well, let me
and,
just...
And one of the things I just realized, you know, for whatever reason, I noticed a couple things it's done in my life, such as giving me clarity on different situations that I'm going through. And it's given me more faith because of the stories I'm reading. When you hear other people's testimony, it does give you more faith. So I'm reading, I just finished a lot about David and Goliath. And so, you know, how he was being pursued by Saul and all these different things were going on in his life, but he still held on to God and still had faith that everything would turn out all right. And it's just faith building for me. And also, I'll just kind of share with this. I had a relationship that I was involved with, and it wasn't a type of relationship that God would bless.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to leave that, and it was a very short relationship, but I decided to leave, and, you know, I asked for repentance, and I was, I felt disconnected. And then once I got reconnected to God, I didn't just cut myself off from that relationship, but I also filled it with getting into the Word every day.
That's good.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but I think that was the best thing I could have done for myself.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you did that. And let me also encourage you, Charlotte, with reading through the entire Bible. One of the best ways to face off against people who quote generalities about the Bible.
Oh, you know, the Bible says God helps people who help themselves.
Oh, really? Where is that found? Because I've read it from cover to cover, and I've never seen that. You know, I mean, so and that was the key thing that encouraged me to read through the entire Bible, was to be able to say to someone who's just making generalities, you know, oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. Oh, really? I've read it from cover to cover. Show me one. You know, to be able to say that in confidence that you have read it, the entire thing. So because some way people get freaked out when someone says something like, oh, really? Is that in there? I never knew, because they don't read their Bible. So, good for you, Charlotte, and stick with it.
Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement.
You betcha. And thanks for calling in. We appreciate your call tonight.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good night, Charlotte.
Bye-bye.
Well, Catherine, real quick, why don't we touch on that? How does reading and knowing and loving God's Word going to help us to better be able to defend God's Word?
Well, because you will know it. You will know what it says, and you'll know the difference that God has used it to make in your own life. And you will know who God is when people are saying things to you that are absolutely not true. You know they're not true. And I've been able to do that. I'll never forget, a woman walked up to me in a restaurant, and she said, what are you doing? And I was sitting there, I had my Bible open, and she said, oh, I don't believe that you can know God. And I was just so astounded at what she said, and I said, well, you're wrong. I mean, I couldn't say anything else, because it was just like so clear to me, and I'm not usually so blunt.
I was going to say, you're not allowed to do that in our, you know, non-absolute society. You can't say something like that.
Well, I know, but I mean, I know what's true, and I know you can have a personal relationship with God. And so we talked for some time about it, you know, and it really opened up a great conversation. But I also love what the caller just shared about how she's been reading about David. And she's been reading about David and Goliath and all of that. And you see, thing is that reading about David, the man after God's own heart, made her want to be a woman after God's own heart, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was making decisions that were changing her life to have her be more intimate in her own relationship with the Lord. And that's what being in the Bible does for you.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I think we got one more really good question that we should try and squeeze in before the top of the hour. We have Lorenzo on the line. Lorenzo, welcome to Raw Talk. We're running a little short on time, so try and make your questions succinct.
Okay, hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wondered if you could give me some tips on how to memorize Scripture and to keep it memorized, because anytime I've tried, it just hasn't helped. So I was just wondering if you had any good tips on how to keep that in your head. So,
well, that is a great question. I'm actually curious to hear the answer myself, Catherine.
Well, there are a couple things you can do. I encourage you to write it down. First of all, write it on a card. Carry the card with you. And I also encourage you to pray the Scripture. That will help you remember it. Study that verse that you're wanting to remember, and then review it, and you will find that you will have it memorized. I write stuff in my journal, and I don't even have to review it that much, and it's memorized, just because of how much time I spend thinking about it and writing it out.
And one thing that I learned actually when I was with the Navigators, Lorenzo, is memorize verses on topics that are near and dear to your heart at that time. You know, whatever it is that you're facing, a particular struggle, a particular question, you know, memorizing topics that are important to you is a great way to get started with verse memorization. The Navigators actually have a system called the Topical Memory System.
Yes, that, very good.
That goes over specific topics. So if there's a topic like you want to know more about repentance, well, you go through and memorize verses about repentance. Or if you want to explore God's grace, you go and memorize verses about God's grace. So that might be another way to do it, is to do it by topic. It was a way that actually helped me quite a bit as I went through my college years. Does that help you out, Lorenzo?
Yeah, that helps.
Well, thanks so much. That was a great question. I'm glad we had time for it. So thank you so much for calling in, because I know that's a question probably a lot of people had. All right. Have a good night, Lorenzo. Well, Catherine, we're just about out of time. What sort of closing thought, closing encouragement would you like to leave with our listeners tonight about knowing and loving God's Word?
Well, I would say one of the sayings I love to think about is, a Bible in the hand is worth two in the bookcase. And so I would just encourage everyone to grab their Bibles and begin to draw near to God. And they've got the promise in James 4:8, when you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And there's nothing so exciting as the great adventure of knowing God.
Well, Catherine, if people have some more questions, or if they'd like to learn more about you, you just wrote this book, Knowing and Loving the Bible. It's actually a 30-day journey, and I'm so excited to go through that myself.
Cool.
It just feels like the time is right for me to get a refresher course on this. So I'm actually very blessed that God brought you across my path, and thank you for letting God use you that way. Where can people learn more about you, or if they have questions, maybe send you a question via email?
Well, they can go to our website, Quiet Time Ministries Online. It's at www.quiettime.org. That's mm-hmm. QUIETTIME.ORG. And they can write to me, Catherine@quiettime.org. And I answer all my emails. So they can feel free to write. And I just encourage you, go to that website, because you'll find out all kinds of things about the Word of God and growing in your quiet time.
Very good. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for your time tonight. I really appreciate your heart for knowing and loving God's Word. And like I said, it's been something that sparked something in my own heart. So thank you so much. Hang on just a second. I'll talk with you a little bit more after we wrap things up. All right? So thank you.
Okay.
All right. I want to close tonight with Psalm chapter 1, going through verse 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." That seems like a good summation for what it means to know and love God's Word. And if you're someone who's thinking, oh, well, how does God's Word relate to me? Well, God loves you, and He tells you that in the Bible. If you want to explore just how much God loves you, pick up a Bible, start reading it, and discover the great love, the great romance that is yours to enjoy by knowing and loving God's Word. You want to know who you are, what your purpose is, what the meaning of life is? It's to know God. God can be known personally. The Bible proves that undoubtedly. And I hope that you will take this opportunity to explore that. And perhaps for the very first time, tell God, you know what? I do want to know you. I do want to be loved by you. I do want to enjoy your grace and forgiveness for my sins. And you can do that starting tonight and enjoy an amazing adventure, like Catherine so eloquently pointed out, an adventure of romance and an adventure that you'll never forget, and an adventure that will last for all eternity. If you'd like to talk more about that, you can always email us, studio@m88.org. Well, I'm not entirely sure what I have planned for next week yet, but I know coming in October, we're going to talk about online video game missions. Have you ever thought of the gaming world as a missions field? Well, it's a unique thought, and one that I think might have a lot of potential, so we're going to cover that in October. Also, Steve Russo is going to join us in October as we talk all things Halloween towards the end of the month, and we'll have other great programs in store for you here in the month of October, which starts tomorrow. Can you believe it's October already? It's absolutely astounding. 2007 is going by far too quickly. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate you tuning in. Thanks to all my callers with their great questions, and thanks especially to Catherine Martin, the author of Knowing and Loving the Bible. I really appreciate all of her insights. Have a great evening in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time here on Raw Talk on M88.